Welcome back to the BRS Men's Afternoon Kollel. It is great to be together again to continue our study and our learning of Torah. Thank you to our sponsor, to the Kranzlers for sponsoring, Neshama Shel Aven Aliyah. Thank you to the Frohlich Financial Group. Thank you, Rabbi Shabtai, for your wonderful work. And most importantly, thank you to those who are with us to join together to learn Torah. So we've been continuing this series on Kriyas HaTorah, reading of Torah. We started originally talking about what is the nature of the obligation to hear Torah reading. Is it a chovas hayachad, a chovas hatzibur? Is it an obligation on the individual, an obligation on the community, with several practical differences between the two? One of them, which we explored, was what happens when the entire tzibur is precluded from reading the Torah, as they were for several weeks or months, depending when you were, where you were during the period of Corona. Must it be made up at a later time when people can get together? We then saw and spoke about the institution of the Baal Koreh. When do we correct the Baal Koreh? Can somebody who knows how to read the Torah lane on their own when they get an aliyah? Should a bar mitzvah boy lane their parsha or get an aliyah but not lane? We discussed all of that previously within this series, and it brings us up to our topic for today, continuing along the same lines, which is the question of standing for Torah reading. Amida l'kriyas haTorah. If you look around any shul, you will find that the vast majority, in most cases, sit for Torah reading. And you'll always find individuals who stand, sometimes correlated with having just come back from their years in Israel. Others, it is a family minhag that they maintain long into life. But you'll see discrepancy and variation within a shul itself, which is one of the things that we're going to talk about, the potential problem of divergent practices even within one shul. Interestingly, if you're in a Sephardi shul, you will see universally everybody is sitting, not standing. So where did that come from? Is it a halacha to stand, to sit? Is it considered a meritorious practice? Is it considered to be something admirable to stand for Kriyas HaTorah? Where did it come from? Why do different people do what they do? And if we have time, we'll also, as an extension or a corollary, talk about the issue of standing for Chazaras HaShatz as well. The Gemara in Sota, source number one, says the following: Amar Rava Bar Rav Huna, Kevin Shenifdach Sefer Torah, once the Sefer Torah is open and ready to be read, Aser L'Saper Afila B'Dvar Halacha, you're not allowed to talk. One of the beautiful things, the silver linings, if there were, of Corona and the social distancing requirement within shul and the resumption of minyanim, is there's no talking. You're too far away. It'd be too difficult to scream for the person next to you to hear. Between the mask and their distancing, Baruch Hashem, it's a very beautiful thing. We have all but, Bli Ayin Hara, eliminated talking. So here the Gemara says, Rava Bar Rav Huna says, once the Torah is open to be read from, you're not allowed to speak, even B'dvar Halacha. So let's say, Ben Gavra L'Gavra, between the aliyahs, you were so excited, you were having a halachic discussion based on the Parsha, or based on the afternoon kol, or based on the Daf Yomi. And once the next aliyah begins, you feel is justified, you feel that Talmud Torah keneged kulam, learning Torah is equal and opposite everything else. So you feel it's going to supersede the prohibition of speaking during Kriyas HaTorah, says the Gemara, no. Amar Rava Bar Rav Huna, no. Kevin Shenifdach Sefer HaTorah, once it is opened again to be read from, Asa L'Saper, you're not allowed to speak, Afilu B'Dvar Halacha, even if it is in the area of Torah. Where do we know this? From a pasuk. Shenemar, the pasuk in Sefer Nehemiah. It's a pasuk describing Ezra Hanavi. Ezra stood on a platform and read the Torah before others. Uvipascho amdu kol ha'am. When he opened the Torah, everybody stood. So if I would have just looked at the pasuk in Ezra, I would say, what is the proper practice when it comes to Torah reading? Everyone should stand. The pasuk says, amdu. Once the Torah was opened, punkt, everybody jumped up. They stood. They honored the reading of the Torah by standing for Torah reading. However, the Gemara continues, Ein Amida Ela Shtika. Amida does not mean what we think, which is standing. Amida means to give something our full attention. We describe, even in our vernacular, we talk about standing at full attention. To stand, Amida connotes giving one's full attention. So the Gemara understands in the context of this pasuk and in the context of the halacha of Torah reading that there's not an obligation to stand, but there is an obligation to be quiet. Shtika. Shnemar, v'ochalti kilo yidabra ki amdu la'anu od. So you see in another context, the pasuk in Iyuv, that the word amida, amdu, means in that context, quiet, silence. It doesn't mean to stand. And so too over here, the halacha is that you need to be quiet, but you need not stand. In fact, many of the Rishonim understand this Gemara to be quite literal, that the word amida, in this context, Amida means shtika, it means to be quiet, has no additional layer or connotation of meaning standing on top of it. And in fact, Rav Sadia Gaon, that is the position of the Kaf HaChaim, and that is the position of Sfardim. The minhag of Sfardim, the position of Sfardim is that ein amida el shtika, to the extent that it means to be quiet, and there is nothing added by standing. However, comes along the Mordechai and says the Mordechai in the back of the Gemara that Rabbi Meir, who's Rabbi Meir? The Maharam Mirutenberg. Rabbi Meir, the great Maharam Mirutenberg, the last of the Balei Tosfos. We know the story of Maharam Mirutenberg and the burning of the Talmud. Haya Omed B'Shas Kriyas HaTorah. He had a practice. This is the Mordechai not in Sota, the Mordechai in Maseches Shabbos. The Mordechai quotes the Maharam Mirutenberg, the last of the Balei Tosfos, who had the virtuous practice to stand during Torah reading. And when else did he stand? U'B'Shas when there was a bris milah, and he brought evidence from the pasuk. Pasuk says vayamod kol ha'am bivris. In the context talking about a covenant, a bris, it says vayamod, and all the people stood. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Zayin says hamal omer al hamila. The moal makes the bracha shekadoshanu mitzvot zivanu al hamila. Va'omdim sham omrim, and all those standing reply, Keshem shenichnas labris, ken yikanes l'sor l'chupo l'masim tovim. If you recall, we learned in the afternoon kolel in another context that we understood it. We saw a piece by Rav Schechter based on a Tosos that maybe ala milah zabirchas ha-mitzvah, and the next bracha is, which is unusual, that the father makes a bracha to which we respond, Keshem shenichnas labris. That is not a mitzvah, a bracha on the maisa mitzvah, it's a bracha on the chalos of the mitzvah. There's the maisa, you have to remove the foreskin. But there's also the chalos, there's the change of status or identity that the child goes from being nishkamalt to gemalt. From not having a bris, from being an orel, to now having a bris and being full-fledged part of the covenant. So when the Gemara records that the people standing there, the people in attendance, they respond to the second bracha, the bracha that we are used to the father saying, the bracha that we are saying goes on the chalos, the change of status, when the people who are present respond, Keshem shenechnas labris, how does the Gemara describe their presence? They are attending the bris. And what are they doing? Sitting comfortably? Reclining? No. Va'omdim sham omrim. Those who are standing there say, Keshem shenichnas labris. So said the Maharam Mirutenberg, quoted by the Mordechai. You see from here, there are two proper customs. One is a custom to stand for Kriyas HaTorah, and two, there's a custom to stand for a bris. So how did the Maharam understand the Gemara? Some understand the Gonim, understand the Gemara as, and as I said, the Kaf HaChaim and others, Paskin this way, Halacha L'maisa, that the word amdu means only to be quiet. And that the halacha is, you cannot speak during Kriyas HaTorah. The halacha is, you have to be quiet. That is its literal meaning in this context, and there is no additional layer of meaning. But clearly, the Mordechai quoted the Maharam would understand it differently. That true, this simple understanding of the pasuk in this context, amdu means to be quiet, but ein mikra mot yotzi midei pshuto. You can't remove the simple meaning, and the simple meaning of amdu means to stand. So therefore, the Gemara is the one recording the additional layer, meaning ein amida el shtika, but amida is also virtuous, and so even though you're not obligated to stand, there's something beautiful about standing as well. The Beis Yosef, source number 3, in the middle column here in the source sheet, says the Beis Yosef, authored by Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch. Beis Yosef is his commentary on the tour. It's really his magnum opus, the Beis Yosef. That's where he shows the origin of halacha. Where did the tour get the halacha? From the Gemara through the Rishonim all the way. And in his introduction to Shulchan Aruch, he writes, Rav Yosef Karo, that he was very sad that people were not learning his Beis Yosef. So he therefore shortened it, condensed it, and he published it as the Shulchan Aruch, which, when he published it, he intended it for the entire Shulchan Aruch to be read, learned each and every year. So here in his Beis Yosef, on the commentary of the tour, in the halachas, Kuf Mem Aleph, Tzarech Likros Me'umad, Disnana Kores HaMegillah Omed Yoshev, Klomar, Imrotza Omed Imrotza Yoshev, Gemara Tana, Masha'in Kein BaTorah. The Megillah can be read while standing or sitting. Megillah is called an Igeres. It can be read standing or comfortably sitting. We have the custom, of course, of honoring the Tzibor by reading it standing. But the Gemara says, a contrast, a distinction between Megillah and Torah. While Megillah, which is an Igeres, is a letter, can be read standing or sitting, Torah, in contradistinction, has to be read by while standing. Uper Shashi, Masha'in came batorah, she'in korim batorah, b'tzibor miyushev. Rashi explains there, in the Gemara Megillah, what does it mean, Masha'in came batorah? It means, ein korim batorah, b'tzibor miyushev. It means that the Balkore, Last time we spoke about the institution of Baal Korei, we spoke about the designation so as not to embarrass or shame someone who doesn't know how to read. We therefore designated a designated reader on behalf of everybody. So the designated reader, or if someone were to read on their own, when reading Betzibur, it has to be read while standing. Umashma d'davka korei tzarech lamod. Avalo shara tzibur v'chein nohagin. Says the Beis Yosef, based on that Gemara Megillah, that when the Gemara says Masha ein kein b'Torah, that it cannot be read while sitting, who is it talking about? Is it referring to the Baal Korei, or is it referring to the Tzibur who's listening? Says the Beis Yosef, it's referring to the Baal Korei. The one reading the Torah has to stand for Torah reading, in contrast to Megillah, but those listening to Torah can listen in the comfort of sitting down, v'chein noagin, and that is the minhag. And even though the Mordechai quotes Marami Rittenberg that we saw inside, who says that the virtuous practice of standing for Torah reading, and many Ashkenazim and some Sfardi also, Balachas Ketanos Kasov, the Balachas Ketanos writes, Yeshomdim B'Shas Kriyas HaTorah Mevi'en Raya Midichsiv Uchiposcho, it's a Greek siv there, Amdu Kol Ha'am Ve'en Raya Mikan Devesotim Afarish Amdu Lashon Shtika. So as we saw here, the Beis Yosef, and this is the Sfardi position, is don't bring evidence from the Gemara and Sota. The Gemara and Sota understands the Pasuk in Nehemiah, the word Amdu there doesn't mean stand, it means to be quiet. V'achimashma B'Yushalmi Dehu Gavra Davakari V'Samech Amale Amod. Somebody who was reading the Torah while leaning, they said stand. Manasina ba'amida ve'ema, just like the Torah was given with a sense of awe and reverence, it has to be read with awe and reverence. Tafka l'chazin yesh lamod. So the chazin, the Baal Korei, what we'd call the Baal Kriya, the Baal Korei, I know that I got emails from someone who listened to last year online. I think that colloquially we refer to it as the Baal Korei, even though more properly it is the Baal Kriya. But decide which one. Do you want to be proper, or do you want to use what people relate to? Lashon b'nei Adam. So the person reading the Torah, we'll go that way. The person reading the Torah has to stand. They're the one who are reenacting the giving of the Torah. And just like it was given with a sense of awe and reverence, it has to be recited or read with a sense of awe and reverence. They must stand. But those who are listening, concludes the Beis Yosef, can sit. V'chein minag, and that is our minag. That is the position of the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo. Comes along the Bais Chadash, source number 4, the right-hand column here. And comes along the Bais Chadash, Rav Yoel Sirks. Again, I always, when I talk about the tour and the Nosei Kelim on the tour, I describe it as rabbinic trash talking. Rav Yaakov ben Asher, the son of the Rush. The Rush, Rabbeinu Asher, lived first in France, and then he had to flee for his life and move to Spain in the Middle Ages. And he writes his halachic comments in the back of the Gemara. So the Rush writes only halachic comments. The Rush does not comment on the agadic sections of Talmud. He only comments on the halachic sections of Talmud. And the Rush established himself not only as a posek, but a critically important posek, because he was part of the development of halacha, first in Ashkenaz, in France, Germany, and then he migrated to Spain, and he saw the customs in Spain. He refers to both, and the Rush is therefore a critically important figure. That is the Rush. The problem is, if you want to know what the Rush's halachic opinion is, you don't know where to look. Because the Rush wrote his halachic opinion based on the Gemara and the order of the Gemara. But the Talmud Bavli is called the Bavli because it's all Mivul Bal, it's all mixed up. Happens to be by design. We could talk about another time. Rav Huttner has a beautiful explanation. It is all mixed up by design to ensure you'd have a Rebbe to preserve the value of Torah Shebaal Peh, the notion that there would be some oral transmission and the importance of the interpersonal communication transmission of Torah. So if you want to know what the Rush holds, you have to know which Gemara to look up. That's a lot to know. Most of the Rush's comments of the halachas of Nida appear not in Maseches Nida, appear in Maseches Shavuos, where there's a comment about halachas Nida, and there the Rush offers his commentary on Nida. So his son, Rav Yaakov, the son of the Rush, says, you know what? My father made an enormous contribution by codifying halacha, but he did it in a way which is not so organized or accessible. He says, I'm going to develop 4 columns of halacha. Tur is a column, and he creates the Arba Turim, the 4 columns of halacha. What are they? Orachaim, Evin Ezer, Choshen Mishpat, and Yoredeya. Orachaim, daily living, Choshen Mishpat, monetary, Evin Ezer, marriage and divorce and relationships, and Yoredeya, Kashrus, and Nida, and Talmud Torah, and Avelus, and so much more. He organizes all of halacha into 4 columns, and he calls it the Tur. His name wasn't Tur. His name was Rav Yaakov ben Asher, the son of the Rush. However, his contribution are the 4 columns, the 4 turim, he is referred to as the tour. When Rav Yosef Karo writes his commentary on the tour, he calls it the Beis Yosef. If the tour made the columns hold up Rav Yosef Karo's house, the Beis Yosef. They hold up his house. It's the first element of a shtickle, not trash talking, chas v'shalom, but the columns are lovely, but they're holding up my house, the Beis Yosef. Comes along Rav Yoel Sirks, who's a later contemporary of Rav Yosef Karo, and he says, that's a lovely commentary called Beis Yosef, but guess what? There's a new house in town, a Bayis Chadash. So the columns are not holding up the Beis Yosef, the house of Yosef, they're holding up a Bayis Chadash. There's a new house in town. And he authors, it's called the Bayis Chadash. We know it as its acronym, the Bach. The Bach is a very important halachic work. So the Bach here says the following. There's a lot more to say about that. That was a short history of halacha. Tzarech likros ma'umad. Kasa Beis Yosef, mashma davka korei tzarech lamod. Ava lo sha'at zibur, ad kan lashono. So the Bayis Chadash, the new house, is quoting the old house, the Beis Yosef, is saying that only the one reading the Torah, Hakore, the one reading, needs to stand, but those listening are entitled to sit. Miu yeshno agen lama b'shas akriya. However, there are those who have the custom to stand. V'chein kasav amorcha Hashem Aram, she'eno ekach, ayin sham per gribalaz demila, achein nir delav midina hayeno ekach. When the Maharam would stand for Torah reading, he didn't do it because he believed one has to stand halachically. Ela kevan that tzarach kol adam lahaalos al daito. Listen to this beautiful insight of the Bayis Chadash of the Bach of Rav Yoel Sirks. He says, what is it we're supposed to be thinking about? Kriyas HaTorah, Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos. What is it we're meant to be thinking about? We're listening to the Torah be read. Why? A cycle to complete it once a year. What are we doing? Is it an act of Limud HaTorah, Talmud Torah? Are we learning Torah? Because if I'm learning Torah, I'm much more comfortable on my own time, and my own pace. Why do I have to read based on their cycle? And why do I have to follow? And why might I have to stand? Says the Bach, no. Kriyas HaTorah is not an act of Talmud Torah. Kriyas HaTorah is an act of recreating Matan Torah. Thousands of years ago, our ancestors and we, every one of our neshamas, stood at the base of Har Sinai. And we heard Mipi HaGvura, the Almighty Himself, spoke to us. It was the most seminal moment of all of human history, certainly of Jewish history. So tzarech kol adam lahalos adato, every person needs to be mindful. Kishishomea kriya, when you're listening to the Torah be read from the Chazan, ki ilu kibla ba'ososha mehar Sinai. I'm going back to Har Sinai. Now, I keep promising you, and we will get to it eventually, a beautiful Yuritzite shir of the Rav, where the Rav developed this idea beautifully. Maybe we won't get to it, because I allude to it each time a little bit. But I'll give you one example. The Rav refers to this. Where is the Torah read from? Let's say in many or most shuls, we have a shtender in the front of shul, where the Chazan davens, and preferably, by the way, the Chazan should daven from a little, there should be a little indent down. Why? This is recorded in Halacha. Because, as we say in Tehillim, Mimam Akim Krasicha Hashem, Hashem, I call out to you from the depths. A Chazan should call out from the depths. They should feel that they're low, that they're desperate. They should feel that they're calling to God, and there is nowhere else to turn. Those who've been to Krakow, Poland, if you've been to the Shul of the Ramar of Moshe Isselis in Krakow, Poland, you recall that at the Shtender, where the Chazan leads the davening, you take a step down into a little indent, and it's from that step down, that indent, from the place of Mima Makim, that's where you cry out to God. You don't see that today. Today we have acoustical challenge. No one would hear if we structure our shuls that way. But that halachically is the preferable way. Mima Makim, from the depths. And how do we feel from the depths? When we are physically in the depths, then we can feel a sense of from the depths. Kriyas HaTorah, however, is the opposite. Where does the Baal Kore, the Baal Kriya, the Kore, where does the one reading the Torah read the Torah from? Dafka, they ascend where? A bima. And why are they ascending a bima? What image, what does it elicit from you right away? The image of them ascending the bima to read the Torah? Har Sinai. Rabbi Soloveitchik further develops, again, maybe we'll get to it, but when we talk about the Gabbai and the Baal Kore and the Ola, a Gabbai on each side, it's a recreation of Moshe, Yehoshua. It's a recreation of exactly what happened at Har Sinai when the Torah was given. So the Bach here says this long before Rabbi Soloveitchik. And he says, when a person is listening to the Torah be read, it's not a moment of Talmud Torah. You're not learning Torah. It's Kabbalah HaTorah. It's Matan Torah. It's a recreation. Therefore, the Bach says the Maharami Rutenberg's practice is a very virtuous practice. If it's true that Kriyas HaTorah is a recreation, a reenactment of Maimed Har Sinai. Just like we stood at Har Sinai with a sense of awe and trembling with reverence, so too when the Torah is being read and we are to be transported back to Har Sinai to hear the Torah be read, one should stand. Aval ben gavra legavra, pshita de insarach amida. Between aliyahs, you can sit. Now during Corona, when we've eliminated all the mishaberachs, and finally we've got somebody in the on-deck circle, so it's back to back, there's no time to sit. It's not worth it. Take more energy to sit and stand than it would be to rest and sit. So if you're meaning to stand for Kriyas HaTorah, you're going all the way through these days. So Ben Gavra LeGavra, however, the Bach concludes, between aliyahs, no problem sitting. But, however, for aliyahs itself, it's worthwhile to stand. Why? Because we're recreating Har Sinai. However, the Bach concedes that strictly speaking, halachically, you're not obligated. It's a nice idea. It's an extra beautiful idea. It's a reenactment, a recreation of Har Sinai. But he agrees with Beis Yosef. He agrees with the Yosef Karo that you're not obligated. It's just a nice idea. Today, you have both the Koreh, the one reading, and the Ola, the one getting the Aliyah. And as we said last time, the Ola, the one getting the Aliyah, needs to read it quietly to himself, but along with the Koreh. So therefore, they both have to stand. And so on. It's very important halacha. Sometimes you'll find a Baal Koreh who's leaning on the bima. They're exhausted, they're tired, it's hard to read through the mask, they're winded, so they're leaning on the bima. It's a mistake, you're not allowed to be leaning. The halacha is, if you're leaning in such a way that if you remove what you're leaning on, you fall flat on your face, you're sitting, not standing. If you're leaning and they would remove what you're leaning, you're still standing, that's not leaning. The halachic definition of leaning is that if you're leaning and you remove what you're leaning on and you'd fall flat on your face, then you're sitting, not standing. And the koreh and the ola need to be standing, and therefore you cannot be leaning. The Taz also addresses this, and he also throws in Ve'im Kain Gam Kan Roy Lino Kain. There's a positive idea to stand for a bris and to stand. By the way, it's interesting. It seems almost universally accepted. I don't know that I've ever been to a bris where the spectators or participants sat. It could be everybody's on edge. The mall is going to do a good job. I don't know. It could be they're on edge. They don't want to be called up for the kibbutz that they're going to be nervous about. I don't know, but it seems that this part of the Maharam's Chumrah, to stand for a bris, seems more widely accepted. However, there are also those who've accepted the Chumrah, the stringency, the virtuous practice of standing for Kriyas HaTorah, even though everybody agrees it's not obligated, because the Gemara redefined Ein Amida El Ashtika. Standing means quiet. So strictly speaking, you're not obligated to stand, but there is something virtuous in doing it. That's mentioned by the Bach, and it's mentioned as well by the Taz passing it here as well. Okay, now, what's the halacha? Are my pages out of order here? Yeah, what's the halacha? Let's go back. So the Mechaber says the following. Source number 6. Ein sarach lamad b'umad, this is Shulchan Aruch Orachayim, Simon Kuf Mem Aleph. I didn't finish before. So the Torah created 4 columns, 4 areas of halacha. The Rav Yosef Karo wrote a commentary on the Torah called the Beis Yosef. When people didn't learn or investigate or delve into his Beis Yosef, he summarized his Beis Yosef and he printed the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch follows the same 4 categorizations as the Torah. Orachayim, Evan Ezer, Yodea, Choshen Mishpat. So here in Orach Chaim and Daily Living, which includes the laws of Kriyas HaTorah, Simon Kuf Mem Aleph, chapter 141, he writes the following. Ein sarach lamod mu'umad be'esh shekorim b'Torah. The Mechaber paskins, the Gemara, we're not surprised. The Gemara quoted the pasuk in Nehemiah. When Ezra was reading the Torah, Amida ein amida el ashtika. You have to be quiet, not allowed to talk during Torah reading. You have to be quiet, even Dvar Halacha, even if it's a Dvar Torah you're sharing during Torah reading, you can't talk. But according to the strict understanding of the Gemara, Ein Amida El Ashtika, you have to be quiet, but you also do not need to stand. Comes along the Ramar, Rav Moshe Isserles. The Ramar was a later contemporary of Rav Yosef Karo. Rav Yosef Karo, you can visit a shul in Tzfat. He ultimately lived in Tzfat, that's where he published the Shulchan Aruch, in the north of Israel. Rav Moshe Isserles, the Ramar, lived, as we said before, in Krakow, Poland. And he writes his gloss. By the way, again, continuing this theme, you have the tour, the columns that the Rav Yaakov ben Asher wrote. And then you have the house that Yosef built, the Beis Yosef. You have the new house the Bais Chadash Rav Yosirk's built. And then you have, when the Shulchan Aruch, inside the house, you have the set table. The Shulchan Aruch publishes his set table called Shulchan Aruch. And the Rama says, yeah, your table is missing something. You know what it's missing? It's a little something called a tablecloth. What's the commentary of the Rama called? The Mapa. The tablecloth that goes on your set table. So this theme of one-upping, a competitiveness, a healthy kenasofrim, continues. So the Rama, who only disagrees with Rav Yosef Karo and the Shulchan Aruch, when the Ashkenazi practice, which he represents and is an authority for in Poland and Eastern Europe, disagrees. So here he writes, V'yesh machmirin v'omdim. However, some disagree, they're strict and they stand. V'chein asa maharam. That was the practice of the Maharam Rutenberg. Look in the Mordechai, as we saw. So I hope you understand and appreciate what we did. I could have started with source number 6. I could have started with the halacha. Mechaber Rav Yosef Karo says you don't have to stand. The Rama says some do stand. But we started properly. First we saw the Gemara and the Pasuk. We saw the Maharam inside the Mordechai. We saw the way the Beis Yosef and the Bach understand it. And then we got to the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama. Now the Mishnah Berura. The Mishnah Berura, who writes only on the section called Orachayim. The Mishnah Berura here writes on this comment of the Shulchan Aruch. Nice and big. This is the benefit of Zoom. Better than source sheets where you can't, you know, make it bigger with your fingers. An actual handout source sheet. But this is beautiful. Ein sarach lam, it says in Mishnah Berura, v'afilu ha'omdim ala bina dima de ein sarach lam de sefer Torah elk she'odam nosa. Aval kishmunachas bimkoma ein sarach. Even those on the bima who are not reading don't need to stand. The only time halachically you have to stand for a sefer Torah is when it's moving. If it's stationary, you're not obligated. We have the custom of standing whenever the Aron Kodesh is open. Ne'ilah, we all stand for Ne'ilah. But strictly speaking, you're not obligated to stand when the Torah, when the Aron Kodesh is open, only when the Torah is moving. V'chein afilu kishe'echad tofsa biyado, be'ishe koren af Torah, kevan shu yoshi b'mekomo, ein sarach lamad lefaneh. So if someone's standing, sitting, holding the Torah, while the Haftorah is being read, nobody needs to stand before them. Afilu heim besot al arama shal al abima. Even if you're within 6 feet, within 4 amos of the Torah on the bima, you need not stand for it. V'da and no, de'ba'esha nosin osa chayv lamad lefaneh, that when the Torah is being carried, you have to stand. Acha tiskasa me'enav, until you no longer can see it, or it's out of your sight. Oach yagenu hamalicha l'makoma, till it gets to its place. V'afilu smicha leza davar, also the smicha ki yeshiva. You're not allowed to lean. Let's say your seat is against the machitza, not a machitza that's going to topple over, but a nice strong machitza. So you want to lean against the machitza while the Torah is making its way to its aron, to the bima rather. You're not allowed to, because you're obligated to stand kol zman, as long as the Torah is in movement, and leaning is sitting. So therefore, you have to stand, again, very important halachas. Now, Be'esha korim batorah, v'shas amir baruch, v'ani baruch Hashem, l'chulayam, atzrichan la'amod, du davar shebek dusha. Oh, comes along the Mishnah Berurah and says that which the Mechaber of Yosef Karo said, that you're allowed to sit when the Torah is being read, all of that is true for what? Torah reading. However, Torah reading is preceded by a bracha, and the bracha is preceded by the recitation of Baruch Hu. So, do you have to stand for Baruch Hu? Why would I have to stand for Baruch Hu? Baruch Hu is a davar shebekdusha. Baruch Hu is something that you can only recite with a minyan. Davar shebekdusha is something that's sacred or holy, can only be recited with a minyan. And we know that dvarim shebekdusha we stand for. What are other examples of dvarim shebekdusha? Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu. Those are the three primary dvarim shebekdusha. All three we stand for. So comes along the Mishnah Berurah, authored by the Chafetz Chaim, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan of Radin, comes along the Chafetz Chaim and he says, true, strictly speaking, we paskin like that Gemara in Sota, and like the Gemara in Megillah, that only the Korei has to stand, those listening to the Torah be read, strictly speaking, are allowed to sit. However, for Baruch Hu, everybody's got to stand. Which means, you can resume sitting right after you answer Baruch Hu, but at the beginning of each Aliyah, the Ola says Baruch Hu, and when you respond to Baruch Hu, you have to stand while you respond, and then you can sit. Is it enough to go like this? Baruch Hu Hashem Baruch Hu. Are you allowed to just answer like that? Or do you have to stand upright? What is the definition of standing? How do you define standing? When you're answering Baruch Hu, and the Mishnah Berurah says you have to stand because it's Davar Shebekdusha, if you give a little like movement in your seat, you give a little nod, try to get a little momentum, to get a little airtime, an inch off the seat. Is that called standing for Baruch Hu? Or no, you have to stand like you're standing properly. So that's an interesting halacha. What's the definition of standing? We covered this, I believe, also in the afternoon kolel, when we learned Maseches Kedushin, and we were learning the halacha of Mibnei Seva Takum, the halacha of standing when an older person passes in front of you, or when your Rebbe passes in front of you, or when your parent passes in front of you. What is the definition of having to stand when they pass in front of you? We talked about in that context, preferably, it is important to stand properly, but minimally, to not be sitting. To not be sitting as you normally sit. So the Mishnah Berurah here says, yes, we follow, strictly speaking, even the Maharam would agree, even the Mordechai would agree, even the Ramah would agree, that, strictly speaking, you're allowed to sit while you listen to the Torah be read. However, Baruchu, you have to stand for. Now, does everybody agree? No. Who disagrees? Sfardim. If you go into a Sfardi minyan, you'll see that they sit for Baruchu. When do you have to stand for a Davar Shebekdusha? If you were already standing when the Davar Shebekdusha was being recited. But if you were sitting when they started the Davar Shebekdusha, then you need not stand. That's the Sfardi practice. Where do you see that? You see that here with Baruchu at the beginning of Aliyahs, where the Sfardi minyan is not to stand. And you also see it with Kaddish, as they would say. Kaddish. In the Kaddish, when I, as an Ashkenazi, participate in the Sfardi, we have a beautiful Biara Sfardi minyan. It's a wonderful minyan. And I participate often. And when Kaddish begins, I instinctively jump up. That's where we're trained, to sit for Kaddish. How could you sit for Kaddish? I look around the room and everybody's sitting. And it's wrong for me to stand, as we'll see in a moment, to do something different, to deviate, could be a different halachic problem altogether. So, what we saw is, strictly speaking, you're allowed to sit for Torah reading. The Mishnah Berurah Paskening for Ashkenazim says, while you're allowed to sit for Torah reading, you must stand for Baruch Hu. This is a very neglected halacha. You see people, they sit as if they're in a recliner, and they're settled in. They've got their chumash, which they'll be lucky if they open, because it's been replaced by Rabbi Sacks, Zecher Tzadik, the Kodesh Levracha sheets, and other Parsha handouts. People are neglecting. They're not going back to Har Sinai anymore. They're neglecting the experience of going back to Har Sinai that the Bach spoke about, and instead, that's not so interesting to us. Much more interesting, what's the latest Parsha printout? What's the latest Parsha handout? So, okay, I'll leave my editorial comment aside for now. So, you can't settle in for seven straight aliyahs. You have to stand at the beginning of each aliyah to properly acknowledge and respond to Baruch Hu. Sfaradim are entitled to sit. Let's continue the Mishnah Berurah. Now, the Mishnah Berurah gets to the Ramah. The Ramah had said, the Ramah conceded, acknowledges, that strictly speaking, you don't have to stand for Torah reading. But, v'yesh machmirim v'omdim. Quote of the Maharam in Rutenberg, some have the practice to stand. Kosav aprichadosh, v'hagra, that to sit for Torah reading. So as we saw in the Bach, even though everyone, including the Bach, agrees that strictly speaking you don't have to stand, it's a beautiful thing. The whole idea of Kriyas HaTorah is to reenact, to relive, to transport ourselves back in time, to feel the awe, the reverence, to tremble. The Torah is being read, we're receiving the Torah anew. And how do you create and cultivate that sense within ourselves? Not by taking a reclining position, but rather by standing and honoring. Umishu ish chalash v'kosh l'lamod. If a person is weak and it's hard to stand, ayideze ein daito miyushevis l'chave na'itev l'kol korei, yesh lo leshev. He says that if you're weak, if you're going to struggle to concentrate by standing, if standing will be a chumr she'os l'dekula, by standing, you're going to tire, you're not going to concentrate, you're not going to focus, you're not going to pay attention to the Kriyas HaTorah, you're better off sitting. You're better off sitting. However, as we said in the Bach, between aliyahs, certainly you are entitled to sit. Certainly you're entitled to sit. Okay, so that is the topic of standing for Kriyas HaTorah. So is there a halacha to stand for Torah reading? No. Everybody, absolutely everybody agrees there is no halachic obligation to stand for Torah reading. Nobody interprets it that there is. However, some have this stringency. Why? The Bach explained, because we're recreating Matan Torah, and that experience should be recreated with the same awe and reverence with which it happened to begin with. That was a practice of the Maharam. However, others, Prichadosh, the Gra, and others, sat and did not even view it as virtuous to stand. Ein amida elashtika. More important is to be quiet for Kriyas HaTorah, no reason. What do we do? Whatever you want. Depends what you do. Look around in each shul. Each one does different things. So my father, who's on the Zoom right now, so I am careful to speak in front of him, has the minute to sit for Kriyas HaTorah. He's doing nothing wrong. I, after my years in Israel, that's why I joked about that before, came back and decided I had learned this sugya, and I said, okay, the Rama says, again, it's a Rama. The Rama says, yesh machmirim va'omdim. It's a Rama. So, as long as I have the strength, as long as I have the vigor, as long as I have the ability, I might as well stand while I can. Rabbi Soloveitchik stood for Kriyas HaTorah, and when he was unable to anymore because he was too weak, he did Hataras Nedarim, he was Matya the Neder. It's a Neder because it's considered to be a virtuous thing. It's quoted by the Rama, the Maharami Rutenberg, the Mordechai. So therefore it would require Hataras Nedarim in order to annul it. One last issue though here. One last issue. Someone's asking about Az Yashir. Oh, we'll get to that. Maybe next time. We've got a whole... I didn't realize how many topics we'd have within Kriyas HaTorah. But I want to end today with the following question. So I'll never forget, it was my brother-in-law's Ofruf. I have one sister, one biological sister, and her husband, Joseph Hellerstein. His father was on our Behind the Bima recently, Judge Alvin Hellerstein. His Ofruf was at the Jewish Center in Manhattan. At the Jewish Center in Manhattan, I was at the Ofruf, which happened to have coincided with when I just got back from my year in Israel, from Karen Biavna. And I had just adopted this new stringency, this new practice, to stand for Kriyas HaTorah. I'm attending the Ofruf. The Torah is being read from majestically, beautifully, by the Baal Kriya, the Korei, at the Jewish Center of Manhattan. I don't know if they were wearing top hats that Shabbos. I don't recall. And I was standing for Kriyas HaTorah, as was my new minhag. And I see the rabbi on the bima, who now is a Rebbe mentor, teacher of mine, Rabbi J.J. Schachter. He signals to a gabbai who comes over to me toward the back of the shul and whispers kindly, please, the rabbi asks that you please be seated. Our minhag is not to stand for Torah reading. I, as some hotshot young yeshiva guy on fire, kanai, your minhag is not to stand. Don't you know the Maharami Rutenberg? Don't you know the Mordechai? Don't you know the Rama? What do you mean that's your minhag? My minhag is to take on this chumra. Don't you know the Bach? You may be reading Parsha sheets. I've gone back to Har Sinai. I want to stand. I was incredulous. I didn't understand. How dare he? How did it make sense? What kind of a shul was this? What was that message? All that did is reveal my ignorance and my foolishness and my immaturity at the time. Rav Moshe, Chelek Dalet Or Chaim, Simen Lamed Dalet. Rav Moshe has the following tshuva. Just had the levaya of his son, the great posek, Rav David Feinstein. What a terrible, terrible loss. If you want to understand his greatness, I saw somebody share it online, that in 1940, Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva in Igros Moshe. And he references a Maharsha in Baba Basra that his son David showed him. And if you do the math, his son David, Rav David Feinstein Zatzal, was 11 years old at the time. So in a tshuva, Rav Moshe says, my son David showed me the Maharsha in Baba Basra. He was 11 years old at the time. So the great Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal has a tshuva about the topic we've also discussed in the afternoon kolel of losis go to do. And he has the following. Ha'isar b'beis ha'kinesis achas le'ezeh in shalashanas b'maragya makam b'dvarah manikarim ikashnei yisurim. You walk into a shul where the minhag is to sit for Torah reading and you want to stand. You think you're some hotshot kanai. You think you're some religious fanatic. You think you deserve mafta yona. You're the holiest roller in town. Comes along Rav Moshe and says, you walk into a shul and you're going to change something visibly, stand out from the practice of the shul, you're violating two prohibitions. Chada lav delo tisko to do. You're not allowed to make Klal Yisrael agudos agudos. The Gemara in Yevamos, le'inyan lo taso agudos agudos. V'humi de oraisa. There's a biblical prohibition. We discussed this again in the afternoon call. If you go on Y.U. Torah or on my website, you'll find that shir where we talked about the prohibition of losis go to do and many applications of that halacha today. How we define and what we do and so on. But the halacha is there's a biblical prohibition to conduct ourselves in a way which appears as if we have two Torahs. Dim lokein lo hayashayach lahakshas dim boiler likra legufe. Vechinim mefurish barambam shikos vechlal azar azu shlo yishnei bet batei dinim be'ir achas. Zeno ay kaminak zeh, vizeno ay kaminak zeh. B'shvil zeh shu drasha gemura me'akra hikshah kesem mishna eich locha begdir azu alav shlucholos mayirak b'drabon on asmach lo yikasha klum. So Moshe, through whatever technical reason, is arguing, clearly losis go to do is a biblical prohibition. If it were rabbinic, the Rambam could not have categorized it as he did. Clearly, losis go to do, to conduct ourselves in a way in which visibly we look like we are going against what is the established custom, is a biblical prohibition of losis go to do. V'sheinis me'adin ayishana b'nei machlokas. Dinu midarabonon. The Gemara Pesachim says, ayishana, don't stand out, don't do something different. Why? Because one person who is a novice, who's not familiar with the Maharami Rutenberg and the Mordechai, will peek into a shul and say, why are they sitting? Why are they standing? Is there more than one Torah? Moreover, machlokas, you'll generate machlokas. Look who thinks he's a holy roller. And Rav Moshe applies this losis go to do, that's the context in which we spoke about this, wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. In Eretz Yisrael, they're very makbar on this. Minag Yerushalayim, the minag HaGros, not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. If you put on tefillin, you know where you're going to be putting it on? In the Ezra's Nashim. They put you behind the Mechitza if you're putting on tefillin. Why? Because losis go to do. Don't deviate in an identifiable way, because Ayishanab Ne'a Machlokas and losis go to do. If it's a shul's Ashkenaz, don't daven Sfard. If it's Sfard, don't daven Ashkenaz. Stay true to the minhag of the shul. If you deviate, you're going to increase or promote, you're going to invite or welcome machlokas. Let's say you want to say vidui before the minhag Sfard, Sfaradim, and minhag Sfard is to say Ashan de Bagadnu before Tachanun every day. So let's say you're Sfard, Nusach Sfard, right, Dad? We're supposed to be Nusach Sfard, but we're Ashkenaz. But let's say you're davening Nusach Sfard among a group of Ashkenazim, and your minhag is to clap the vidui beforehand. Says Rav Moshe, is that losis godedu? Are you allowed to say it to yourself? He says, don't clap. Say Ashan de Bagadnu because it's not identifiable. Nobody will say, but don't strike your chest, because then visibly you're going to stand out, and that potentially is an Issa D'oraisa, losis go to do. V'rak ma sheminiach tefillin gam b'tefilas ha-mincha, ein limchas b'yado. Af shikas misham yor, rodikeven de bama kashnor ginkein. What about wearing tefillin at mincha? BRS, the minhag is not to wear tefillin at mincha. I can safely tell you. The minhag universally, I've been here 21 years. I can count on one hand how many times I've seen someone put on tefillin at mincha. Maybe they flew, they couldn't put the tefillin on in the morning, maybe they were fasting. Our minhag is not to wear tefillin. Are you allowed to then come into a shul and put tefillin on at mincha? Says Rav Moshe, losis go to do. Aval shar shinim tzarich limchas biado begam. So these are things that you don't have to object to the person, but other things you should step up and object. And therefore, if you apply Rav Moshe, he's not talking about the custom of standing for Kriyas HaTorah, but if you apply what Rav Moshe is saying, then it comes out, I was in the wrong in the Jewish center. If the universal custom of the whole Jewish center is to sit for Kriyas HaTorah, nobody, not the rabbi, not the eldest member, not the honoree of the last year's dinner, nobody is standing for Kriyas HaTorah. Who was I, this young punk, to stand for Kriyas HaTorah? And the rabbi was correct to send me a message. Losis go to do. You're potentially violating a biblical prohibition, all in order to observe not even a rabbinic halacha, but a minhag of the Maharam Mirunberg. Don't violate a biblical prohibition in order to observe something which is only a chumrah ba'alma. However, in most shuls, which are a chalanpat, the Jewish center is a place that is very, very strong minhagim. Like the JEC in Elizabeth, right, Gordon? If you'd walk into the JEC in Elizabeth and deviate from the minhag Elizabeth, minhag of Rabbi Teitz, that's losis go to do. There are very clear establishment minhagim. You risk your life if you're going to deviate with the establishment minhagim. But most shuls, for better or for worse, are melting pots. They have a big mixture of all kinds of people and all kinds of neschalos and all kinds of minhagim and all kinds of practices. And in our average shul and in Boker Haton synagogue are many, many minyanim. If you look, some are standing for Chazaras Hashat, some are sitting. Some are standing for Kriyas HaTorah, some are sitting. And in a shul where there's a melting pot and an acknowledged and accepted sense of different minhagim, then you are allowed to do what you'd like to do. You want to sit? Certainly that's the halacha. You can sit. You want to stand and keep the stringency of the Ramah, the Maharam, the reason of the Bach, certainly you're invited and you're welcome to stand, though there is no obligation to do so. So we're going to stop here today. Next time we're going to pick up with, where did the custom come from? Maybe we'll come to Chastani Chazar Sashatz later. Next we'll come to, why do we stand for Az Yashir? Should one stand for Aseres HaDibros? If you follow the Shulchan Aruch, and you follow the Gemara Sota, the Gemara Megillah, and you sit for Kriyas HaTorah generally, where did it come from to stand for Aseres HaDibros? Where did that come from? Maybe we'll pick up with that next time, and then we'll talk about standing for Chazar Sashatz. We'll get to that eventually. And one day we'll get to this beautiful Yurtzeit Shir of the Rav about Kriyas HaTorah being similar to Maimed Har Sinai. Until then, stay happy, stay healthy, and stay holy. Stay tuned also for the next Shir. Thank you for joining the BRS Men's Afternoon Kollel.